my Lord and my God. Start with prayer. Well, we've begun with prayer already for quite a while, and let's just enter in more deeply here. Loving God, we gather as your people to adore you. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And so we spiritually prepare for the celebration of your birth in this Advent season by adoring the humble way you come among us still, making yourself present here with us in this blessed sacrament. You who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Well, it's good to be back here. My first exposure to the Shrine of the Little Flower was about 22 years ago. I was a summer intern at Ross Roy, which is not here anymore, but it was an advertising agency in Bloomfield Hills. And I was entering my senior year in Indiana University that I first had a powerful encounter with the Eucharist. If you remember, 1993 was the year that Pope John Paul the Great, St. John Paul, first came to the United States. Not first came to the United States, because he came here in Detroit, but he came for World Youth Day. And I went to that World Youth Day. I grew up in Columbia, Missouri, and our parish did not have any Eucharistic adoration. So I was exposed to the Eucharist, to Eucharistic adoration for the very first time at a holy hour that Father Benedict Groeschel was running at a parish, because I was going with the CFRs, which is a Franciscan community in the Bronx, New York, and they've expanded since, but very much so. I'm sure many of you are familiar. But Father Benedict Groeschel had the Eucharist in the monstrance, and not being familiar with it, I thought it was a little peculiar. And then he said he was going to process around the church with it. And I'm thinking, why do you have to process around the church? We can see it just fine. That's the best place. Everybody can see it. And I immediately, when he picked up the monstrance with the Lord and turned the corner, I was sitting right over about Father Steve is, and as he turned the corner, it just struck me that what was coming towards me was holy, and I was not. And it cut me to the heart. It struck me so much that I had to put my head down, and I began to weep, knowing that this was something worthy of reverence and awe, even though I wouldn't have used those words back then. I didn't know what holy meant back then, but I knew what was coming towards me was holy. And I hid my face, I began to cry, but at the same time I knew that what was coming towards me had my best interests in mind, and that I felt love, a pure love. And so I was a little bit embarrassed, and you know, I put my head down because I didn't want anybody to see me crying. But then I finally had the courage to kind of look around, and I noticed there were other young adults like me, this 20-year-old, you know, college student, being affected the same way. And I was like, okay, I'm not too strange. This isn't too strange of an experience, I guess. And I remember, it was a first experience for a friend of mine that was sitting to my right. She had just gone to confession. By the way, the confessionals are open. Father Patrick's a great confessor. But the confessional lines were open. And right as she walked out of the confessional, the procession was going on. And her eyes met the Eucharist. And she dropped right to her knees and began to weep right in front of everybody. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I'm not like her as far as being so public. But it struck me the reality of our faith. At that point, I was kind of teetering with the whole, I was a cradle Catholic, but I saw the faith so alive in my Protestant brothers and sisters that I was friends with at Indiana University. But after that moment, I knew that I could never leave the church because the Eucharist, Jesus, was there. And so I want to begin with, or continue, I should say, with this gospel. If everybody would rise for the gospel, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have a seat. I think you can see why that's such an appropriate gospel for this evening. And I hope that you see Jesus for you transfigured in a sense. Maybe you've had trouble with the real presence of the Eucharist. And I just encourage you to place your faith in him this evening in a deeper way. You know, we all know from these last few weeks that tragedy, it's been a rough month, right, for our world. Those words of St. Peter resonate with us because we can rest here with the Lord. And he gives us a peek into his divine nature. Sisters and brothers, we make his words tonight, his words our words. It's good that we are here with the Eucharist. It is good that we have this opportunity to rest. It's been a heck of a month, not only because of the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, but if you follow the world news at all, you know how tragic of a month it has been around the world. It's just 3 weeks ago this very day since those Paris attacks, right? 3 weeks ago this very day that, and then the day before that, Beirut was struck. And in just the past few days alone, we've had a few domestic acts of terrorism of our own that claimed the lives of at least 14 people. So in this world of a fallen humanity, we clearly see that we are in need of a Savior, the divine Messiah, the Prince of Peace. What else but God's intervention can ultimately bring about lasting peace in such a divided world, filled with so much senseless violence and vitriol? And I even think this, the something like human trafficking, how we can have millions of women and children, not just women and children, but millions of people enslaved, forced to do unspeakable acts in our world. And whenever I think of, when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, and you think about the veil of tears, it becomes very real when you know that millions of people are living in that situation. But until that definitive peace that the Lord will bring, what we need to and can take away from this night is not any sense of despair. As Christians, we are a people of hope and joy. So instead, in this holy day season, we focus this night on what God has done about all of this, how he already has chosen to act and save the world. Notice that God has not yet come in all his glory and power to force an unconverted world into submission, a rebellious generation, as we hear in Scripture, right? As some might believe that he should, and has even dared to use his name to commit the very violence God detests? No, God Almighty, who made the heavens and the earth and has chosen to express his power through the vulnerability of a babe at Bethlehem, the vulnerability of the Eucharist. Pope Francis has been calling people to learn from the Christ child the way of peace. We saw that in his apostolic visit to East Africa this past week. The Vicar of Christ reminds us that there is, there in the manger of Bethlehem, we see there modeled for us how we are to use our God-given power in the world. Right? There he is, Almighty God, made it vulnerable, entrusting himself to Mary and Joseph. Believe you me, there will be a time when all this, the madness will end and God will judge the nations. But before then, he desires to draw all people to himself in love. And he does that, not by zapping all the sinners, because no one would be left. I know I wouldn't. Instead, he takes on the littleness of his own creation in order to unite himself to our plight and to extend his mercy. This is a time of mercy. See, dear friends, in his incarnation and God dwelling not against us, but God dwelling with us, Jesus, Emmanuel, breaks this unending cycle of hatred and violence that began all the way back at Cain and Abel. Right? He breaks that cycle of hatred and violence and invites his disciples, you and me, to be in such union and oneness with him that we as members of his body are empowered to do the very same, to be the change agents by which we break the cycles of hatred and violence in our own day. And we learn to do that by sitting at the feet of our master. That's what we're doing tonight. In emulation of the shepherds at that first Christmas night, we gaze at Christ in awe and wonder. There is a transmittance of grace by which we not only learn to be more like the one upon whom we gaze, but also by which God communicates more of his divine life upon us as we adore him. See, the very Christ that Joseph and Mary and the shepherds adored on that holy night of the first Christmas is here with us now in the Blessed Sacrament. If you as a Christian already believe the grace to believe that God himself, the creator of the universe, accomplished something so miraculous as to take on our human flesh and actually become one of us in Jesus Christ, then you already possess the faith to recognize that Jesus makes himself really present to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the gift of the Eucharist. Christ was true to his promise that even while ascending to the Father, he would be with his disciples until the end of time, which is precisely what he accomplished through two gifts, two primary gifts, the Holy Spirit that animates us to be Christ's body, and in the gift of the Eucharist, present in all tabernacles of the world. Both have allowed him to be with all his disciples as their peace all around the world, so as to be agents of peace in the world. The world needs peacemakers. We've heard Pope Francis reiterate that theme. And what I do not mean by peace that is, you know, we just kind of roll over and let terrorists have their way. No, self-defense, whether as persons or as nations, is often necessary to stop unjust aggressors. What I mean by peacemakers is not so much addressing the symptoms, that is, seeing peace as the absence of what is on the outside, you know, the absence of war, violence, and division. These are mere symptoms of a more profound lack of peace. The root cause of that more fundamental lack of peace is what is absent in the inside.
what is absent in the heart of the human person. A heart that is in want because it misses the presence of the Prince of Peace, who is life and love itself. The only reality that can ultimately satisfy the human heart. As those famous words of St. Augustine expresses it, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. So what I encourage you to do this evening is to rest in Him. To draw closer in your relationship with Jesus by deepening your belief in the real presence in the Eucharist. Because He is here. And where He is, there is nothing, nothing to fear. Jesus tells us in the gospel today, do not be afraid. In fact, that's the most oft repeated phrase by Jesus. I think He wants to get something across, right? Have you allowed the truth then of that to sink into your very bones? By doing so, you will encounter Him in an intimate, maybe for some of you, in a new way that you have never experienced before. Obviously, the celebration of the Eucharist at the Mass is the pinnacle, the source and summit of our faith, because we receive Jesus, literally, and become one body with Him when we receive communion. But because of how brief that communion time is in a normal Mass, a Sunday Mass, right? From the point that we receive the Eucharist to the time we've sung the recessional hymn and are out the doors of the church doing our thing, we oftentimes take for granted the priceless treasure we're receiving. But here in adoration, we get to take our time. We get to be able to contemplate that mystery, that mysterious way Jesus gives Himself to us. And the more we realize it, the more we open ourselves up to the grace and the divine life that God wants us to receive in the gift of Himself. If we never do that, we rob ourselves of the power that the Eucharist can unleash in our lives. Its power to heal, its power to save, its power to transform our hearts and minds and the way that we approach life, because we've allowed more and more of Jesus to live within us. And what does this gift of divine life affect in us? It affects the plan of peace and salvation God desires for this world, because that peace begins with having God's peace reign in our own hearts. We've heard Jesus time and time again at Mass, I leave you peace, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Without that peace in the heart of every single person, hatred and division will continue. But starting with our own heart, if we can surrender to God and His will, we then become those agents of peace, of God's peace for others. If that happens, then we don't contribute to the perpetuation of this cycle of violence and hatred that comes our way, but we conquer it as Jesus did with the power of self-giving love. So brothers and sisters, to go back to that question, do we recognize how God has already chosen to act in this saving world, in saving His world, right? Until the final judgment, God has chosen the path of mercy, and He has made us His true collaborators in His saving plan. Especially in this upcoming Jubilee year of mercy that Pope Francis has announced to begin in 4 days, starting on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Let us follow our Master and the way He trod and become peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So brothers and sisters, let's come to adore Him. It's good that we are here in this time of adoration. I want to echo Father Steve, to feel free to sit, stand, kneel, whichever posture helps you relate to the Lord our best. Even like the Transfiguration, we could get out and lay prostrate on the in between. I don't know if that's a fire hazard, but anyway. The three apostles in today's gospel fell prostrate when Jesus allowed them to have a peek, just a peek at His divinity. behind the human flesh that he took on to be one of us. I just encourage you to use this time to go deeper in your relationship with him. Allow him into those parts of your life that need his purifying grace. Rest in the fact that the Prince of Peace is the definitive, lasting reality that outlives the passing swirl of uncertainty and hostility in our world today. We'll say a brief prayer here to help you enter into a meditative time with our Lord. And please repeat after me, whether in the silence of your own heart or aloud, however you're moved to respond. Dear Jesus, my Lord and my God, I believe that you are here, that you see me and that you hear me. As I sit at your feet, I quiet my heart before you to listen and adore you. Reveal to me your ways, O Lord. Amen.